This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT. Gina Alexandria.
Awesome truth until redeeming.
Good with the CA. Tuned into the spiritual
heart.
But when we put it all together, this is what we'd like to call you,
Gina
Jesus.
Let's tune in as Evangelist Ronald Bell takes you further.
You were born in a manger.
We're going to be teaching today on faith. Saints of God, we know that faith is one of our weapons. It's one of our most important weapons that God has given us to use against Satan. We know that faith is our shield, and it will protect us from all of the fiery darts of the enemy. So we're going to be talking today about the importance of faith and the necessity of faith. We're also going to be talking about, I'm going to show you in this lesson and in the next lessons to come, how you can use your faith. I'm going to show you how faith works. So we know that by faith, we can do anything. And we know that without faith, it is impossible to please God. God wants us to teach and preach and prophesy, evangelize, and do all the things that he has called us to do. And all the works that he's called us to do in the ministry. He wants us to do this in all clarity with demonstrations of the power of the Holy Ghost. God wants us to receive whatever we have need of. Whenever the word of God of faith is being preached, he would have you to know that most of all, not one of his words are without power. So when you are hearing the word and you're listening to the word, you need to understand that not one of God's words are without power. We see here that we're talking about the importance of faith right now. And we're going to, later on, we'll be talking about how faith works. But right now, we're going to be talking about the importance of faith. And that's God's word of truth. That's what faith is. It's his word of truth. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstrations of the Spirit and of the power of God." That's what the preaching and teaching and prophesying and evangelism, that's what it's all about. We're to do everything that we do, not in word, in word only, not in the words of man, in the man's wisdom, but in demonstrations of the Spirit and of power. That's what God's word is all about, is power in the word of God. You know, if you're not receiving, you need to examine yourself and see if you're still in the faith. We know that the word says in the book of Jude that we need to examine ourselves daily to see if we're in faith. Sometimes we think we're walking in faith and we're walking in fear and doubt. So we need to examine ourselves daily to see where we are. You know, when we go to the doctor and he examines us, he wants to see exactly where the pain is, where the hurt is, so that he can make a diagnosis of what's wrong with you. So we need to examine ourselves to see what's wrong with us and why we're not receiving from God. We know in Isaiah 54, verse 7 through 11, I'm going to read that for you. It says, "Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and unto our God. For he will abundantly pardon." This is what God is going to do. He will abundantly pardon you. He says, "Because my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways." This is what God is saying. And read verse 8 again. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are high than the earth, so are my words and my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heavens, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. We need to focus on this next verse. He says, so as the rain, let's just go back and read this again. It says, for as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, it doesn't go back, but it waters the earth, and make it bring forth, listen to this, this is what we're supposed to do. This is what the word is supposed to do for us. It will bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And verse 11 says, so shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things that I have sent it. Saints, this is a true ironclad word from your Father that's in heaven. And he says, when his word comes down, it will not come back to him void. He says, so shall my word be that cometh forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things that I sent unto it to do. We need to understand this one thing, that God is not a man that he should lie, and he's not the son of man that he should repent. If God said it, he'll do it. And if he spoke it, he'll make it good. I want you to understand verse 11. And I want you to go back as you take notes and you read verse 11. This is what the word of God will accomplish in our life. God says it's not going to return to him void. But whatever he sent his word to do, whether it's healing, deliverance, whether it's prosperity, no matter what is, whether it's a desire, whether it's a brand new home, if you get the scripture on it, God said that word would not return unto him void, but it will accomplish what he sent it out to accomplish, and it will do what he sent it to do. You know, what does God's word mean to you? What does God mean to you? You know, will you treat him like you treat a friend, a family member, or just anybody? God forbid that. You know, how you treat God and his words may have a direct bearing on if you will receive from him or not. Do you not know that you're dealing with God, Almighty God, that's got everything in his hand? He is God. Before the world was, he was God. And we dare to think that he can't do. We dare to think that God is not able. We dare to think that our God somehow don't hear us. Oh my God, he hears us. He hears us all of the time. Every word that we utter is being written down. It's being recorded. So think about it. You know, if something is holding up your prayers, if something is holding back what you need to think about, what am I thinking about God? What am I saying about God? You know, what is my thoughts toward God? Am I thinking that he can't do it? That he won't do it for some reason? Straighten up those evil thinking, and you might straighten up you might get your answer from God. You know, none of God's words are without power. All of God's word is filled with power. It's their anointed, their life, their health, their strength, and they are spirit. So if you look around in the natural to see God's word, you ain't going to see it. It is spiritual, and you have to discern it through the spirit. We're going to look at 2 Timothy 2 and 9. Paul is speaking to Timothy about being a good soldier. You know, for Jesus Christ. And he's telling him in verse 1 through 8, I'm just going to paraphrase a little bit, be strong in the grace of Christ. Commit to truth and faithful men. This is the same thing we're supposed to do. Endure hardness as a good soldier. You know, when you think life is beating you down, it may not be life beating you down. It may be God trying to get something into you. It may be all these hard things that's coming against you to see how well you can fight, how well you can use, how well you can use that spirit of faith that God has given us. This all-so powerful weapon that will knock down all the fiery darts of the enemy. It may be just God is trying to show you how to get to where you need to get to in life, how to be strong in the Lord. This is what Paul is telling Timothy. Be not entangled with the affairs of this life. See, we're too entangled with the affairs of this life so as to please God. We can't please God if we're thinking about the world. We're thinking just like the world. You know, he told us to be separate and touch not the unclean things of the world. You know, he told us to be not conformed to the things of the world and to the life of this world. But what are we doing? We're all wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in days of our lives. We're tangled up in Jerry Springer. We're all tangled up in Donald Trump. We're all tangled up in politics. We're all tangled up in the Hollywood set. And all these people that are on their road to hell, you know they're going. You know they're going there. I can't prejudge them. But with the lifestyle that they're using, it sure seems like that they're on a course straight to hell. The world, I know, I can say this, is on a course to hell. And anybody that's in with the world, they're going down with it. So this is what Paul is telling Timothy. Don't you be entangled with the affairs of this life so as to please God. He says, strive lawfully for the crown. You got to strive for the crown. We ain't not looking for earthly things here. We're looking for heavenly things. And God said, if we live like this good soldier and we do the things that he say, we're going to have a crown of life. It's going to be a crown. And what all you want on that crown, you got to make sure that you start working for it right now. Because the Bible says you have what you say. If you want diamonds and rubies, start saying it. I want diamonds and rubies on my crown. And then work for it. And God will give it to you. You know? It says, consider what I say. And he says, it is the truth. Remember, make Christ's resurrection a chief theme of the gospel. This is the same word we have to do today. We have to remember to make Christ's resurrection the chief theme of the gospel. Because how many know without him dying on the cross, being resurrected, and now seated on the right hand of the Father, we wouldn't even have a gospel. So this has to be our chief thing that we remember when we're teaching and preaching and we're doing all the things that we're supposed to do. We have to remember, first of all, we got to make Christ's resurrection the chief theme of the gospel. Without him, we would have nothing. And in verse 9, Paul says, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bounds. But the word of God is not bound. Saints of God, you got to know that the word of God is not bound. You can't bind God's word. God's word is all power, and it cannot be bound. We might be bound. Satan might have us bound and in a stranglehold. But saints of God, God's word is not bound.